Well, science, you see, presumes to seek knowledge, direct knowledge, about a world that is independent of man. And in doing so, science has done a number of other things as well that have cultural, spiritual, and psychological significance. Because in the midst of this enterprise in which science investigates a presumed external world and excludes the viewer from having any effect on that, you see, science has established a way of life for everyone, as far as become the kind of dominant point of view of our society. It's established a way of life in which human beings universally presume that the real world is this external world, and that the world of the self and the internal so-called realm, which is not inside that physical universe, is unreal. It is at least caused by this external world that we study. So the whole approach of science, you see, is one in which the primary feature of our condition as human beings is abandoned. Science is not a human activity, because it is an activity in which what is specifically human is fundamentally suppressed, abstracted, separated out. We're supposed to be devoted to finding out about this external world. We're not supposed to be devoted to participation in a total world in which reality includes not only the objects of perception and conception, but the process of perception and conception, and the being or consciousness in which perception and conception are experienced or recognized. Science is not about presuming reality as that total human condition. It is about presuming reality as that which is external to the human condition, in order to study which we must suppress our human condition as the medium of association with phenomena. The mood of science, therefore, you see, has chosen the external world, so-called, which is just a convention, a presumption, as the real world, and presumes that all the other dimensions of existence, which human beings are directly associated with always, are unreal, or simply caused by this real world, which is the gross, physical, material, external universe. It's interesting that mankind has gotten into such a position that it would devote itself absolutely to something totally external to itself, presuming it alone to be real, to be the cause of our existence, and to be more real than our own existence. And you see, it is this attachment to the convention of external reality that is behind the dogmatic view of science relative to matters such as spirituality, religion, magic, the other kinds of human enterprise that relate to a participatory kind of consciousness. If we simply examine our total condition, external world, totally independent, external world, real, is not experienced by us at all. That is a presumption. Our actual condition is a dynamic in which what we might call somehow the external world is only one feature. And is certainly not in the position of being the only real feature of our existence. Nor does it cause our existence, the existence of the other dimensions in which we naturally participate. It is dynamically related to these other dimensions. But it is not more real than they. It's not caused by. It doesn't cause them, nor is it caused by them. But in fact, our condition of existence is one in which there is more than the so-called external world. We are always simply existing, being, simply conscious. Every other feature of our existence is an object. Every other feature, if a thought arises, it is witnessed. If a sensation arises, it is witnessed. A room is perceived, it is witnessed. The fundamental aspect of our condition, it would seem, therefore, is existent consciousness. Spontaneously existing, simply existing consciousness. And it doesn't have any features, because everything arises as an object to it. Mm-hmm. And then this existing consciousness conceives and perceives, or a process, let's say a process of conception and perception arises spontaneously. To this existing consciousness, in the midst of this existing consciousness. Now that process of conceiving and perceiving notices, experiences, various kinds of forms, some of which relate to what we call the external world, the gross world. Others of which can't be found there at all. You can't find the environments in your dreams in that world, at least according to the conventions of our way of thinking, we would say that you can't find them there. In other words, there are different levels of conceived and perceived objects. It seems if we could string them out on, pile them up, associate them with one another in terms of different kinds of dimensions relating to one another. So there is this existing being, existing consciousness. And there are the process or processes of conception and perception. And then there are the various forms. Subtle ones, psychic ones, gross ones, material ones, all these kinds of things, you see, that we interpret and evaluate according to various conventions. But our actual situation, you see, includes all three of these fundamental conditions in dynamic association with one another. Existing consciousness, conceiving and perceiving, and forms of various kinds.